Our Father in heaven, the one who has created all things according to your perfect wisdom, thank you, Father, for creating us in your image so that we can know you, walk in your ways, and grow and become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Father, we thank you that you have not only created us with this capacity, this potential, but that you have also reached out to us in your love while we are living in darkness and sin. Thank you for what was accomplished at the cross. Thank you for your patience with our lives. Thank you for what you have sought to teach us. And we pray that you will help us, that as we continue to seek to understand what you revealed in the scriptures, that our minds may be continually renewed, our hearts transformed, and that more and more we may be able to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. We commit this time to your hands and pray that you be pleased to speak to us and help us to respond to your grace, your love. All this we pray and commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 52nd message on moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, the 21st message. Title for today's message, Major Features and Issues Associated with Growth. Major features and issues associated with growth. We have been considering this important subject of moral, spiritual beauty and stature over many messages, and I think it's helpful to have an overall picture and take note of some of the major features and issues involved. Why have we taken so much time to consider this subject? It is because it is important in the eyes of the Lord. It is at the very heart of His intentions for us, for man, when He created man. It is bound up with and it has a direct bearing on all the major issues of the Christian faith and how we can fare well in all these major areas. It has a direct bearing on the quality and meaning of the fundamental aspects of our faith. For example, and we should always begin with this, our relationship with God. It's a direct bearing on the quality and meaning of our relationship with God. For example, our worship of God. The more we grow, the more and more we'll be able to deepen in the quality of our worship. Our fellowship with God, the freedom with which God can speak to us, entrust things to us. When we have grown, God will have more freedom to speak to us. He can depend on us. And we are also in a position to receive well. Our ability to hear Him, to discern His will, and to obey and to serve Him faithfully, effectively. All these are what ought to be the longings of every child of God. And growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature have a direct bearing on all these aspects. It's a direct bearing on the quality and meaning of our lives here on earth as well as in eternity. On our relationship with people, whether it be Christians or non-Christians, if we want to learn to relate well with people, then this is a major area we need to pay attention to. The world have their ways of trying to help people to understand others and so on. But if we do not grow in this area, then no matter what we try to learn, understand, study, we will not be able to really relate well with people from the perspective of God's kingdom, even if we've grown in our ability to influence people in the direction we desire, but you'll be in the direction of personal interests and the goals and objectives of the people of the world. The positive impact on people, influence on people in the way that God desires of us, then this area, growth in this area, is vital. Likewise, for our prayer life, is quality of our prayer life, meaning of our prayer life, is very important, and it is vitally related to how much we have grown in the Lord. We have seen the importance of the scriptures. The more we grow, the more we'll be able to understand and benefit from our reading of the scriptures, to be nourished, and also not just benefit from the scriptures for our own lives, our ability to minister the truth revealed, to communicate the truth. First to appreciate for our own lives, and then to be able to communicate to others. All these are major issues that we should be concerned about. And if we want to be able to fare well in all these areas, it is essential, not just helpful, essential, that we make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. A very major area that we have been concerned about all these years is church life. Our ability to participate properly, effectively, whether it be receiving or contributing. If you are growing well, you'll be able to receive well. We'll be able to contribute well. And again, we see that in many of these areas that we've been considering, it works both ways. When we are receiving well, you also further help us to grow. Likewise, our relationship with God. Moral, spiritual beauty and stature, direct bearing on our relationship with God. As we deepen our relationship with God, you further help us in growth, and so on. And finally, we can put it in this way, in our participation and contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom and the fulfillment of God's purposes. We should all be very interested in this area. But no matter what, how much effort we put in how many different ways we try to improve our skills, our abilities, unless we are growing in stature in the Lord, we will not be able to participate and contribute effectively. In trying to consider how we can be helped to remember some of these qualities and features associated with the life of one making good progress, I thought of two pictorial representations in the scriptures which can help us appreciate as well as remember some of these qualities and features associated with the life of one making good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. One from the Old Testament and the other from the New Testament. The first pictorial representation is the blessed man who is like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Probably many of you will know where I'll be referring to next. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, I'll just quickly read through this short psalm, but it's very rich in meaning. As I read through this psalm, try to capture in what way this psalm can help to communicate the qualities and features associated with one who is making good progress, growing well. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. In contrast, verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. It's a very beautiful picture of one who is growing well and one whom the Lord appreciates, a fruitful, a very meaningful life. And the psalmist begins with how blessed. We know blessedness communicates to us the sense of well-being. Not well-being from the worldly perspective, from the eyes of the people of the world, but true well-being from the perspective of God's kingdom, spiritual well-being, one who enjoys the favor of God, the approval of God, that is the blessed man. And he's the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. That is, such a man not only seeks to do what is positive, to grow in that direction, but he must also turn away from all evil, whatever is negative. So this communicates to us an important aspect, the moral dimension. If you want to be to experience true blessedness, well-being, to really grow well, such a person, this aspect of the moral dimension, turning away from evil, growing in the positive qualities, it is critical. And next verse goes on to the positive. But in contrast to walking in the counsel of the wicked, standing in the path of sinners, sitting in the seat of scoffers, all this is not so for the blessed man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Yes, there are many things that may be very attractive, appealing to the flesh, many attractions of the world, but such a man, his delight is not in those things, but in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. This communicates to us various things that are very critical. Primarily, it communicates to us love for the truth. Not just willing to walk in truth, but his delight is in the law of God, in the law of the Lord. We can say he delights, he loves what God has to say, the instructions of God, the will of the Lord. What is positive? And not just delight in the sense that he finds it pleasurable to read the scriptures, but he makes effort, he seeks to absorb. In his law, he meditates day and night. Why is he meditating? He loves the truth. He wants to understand what God has to say. And he makes effort. And the meditation is a process by which he seeks to absorb this truth so that it becomes a part of his life. Then there will be true progress in the quality of his being, in conformity with the will of God. What happens? Verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. A very beautiful picture. A tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Just some brief reflections. Like a tree firmly planted by streams of water communicates to us stability. He's stable. He doesn't waver easily. He's firmly planted. And by the streams of water communicates to us that he's constantly sustained, nourished. Because he draws near to God, he delights in the things of God, he wants to hear what God has to say, and he's nourished. And compare this with the Lord Jesus, abide in me and I in you. A continuing relationship with God. And the streams of water, you can see also, communicates to us, or you can see the association with what we have mentioned times past of the Holy Spirit and water. He's firmly planted by streams of water. His close relationship with God, and he continually draws forth nourishment. And then that results in fruit, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In whatever he does, he prospers. The margin of the American Standard says, or all that he does prospers. So both he prospers and the things that he is doing prospers. So this communicates to us a life that is fruitful, he fares well, he is effective, there's true success. And this comes about because he's planted by streams of water. He delights in the law of the Lord. He turns away from evil. His relationship with the Lord, and he's nourished by the Lord and the truth. Not so with the wicked, verse 4. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff which a wind drives away. So this comes through again, that the heart of it is a moral issue. Not just someone who tries to spend much time with God, but ultimately, for the relationship with God to be strong, to be good, to really grow well, to be fruitful, we must hate evil and love the truth. No matter how much time we spend with God, but if the moral dimension, the wickedness issue, aspects are not dealt with, then we will not be able to be like this tree firmly planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit, yielding fruit and prospering well in God's kingdom. Well, here is a principle. It's not just whether we are totally wicked or we are totally righteous. We can view this, appreciate this from this angle. To the degree our hearts are filled with love, truth, righteousness, and our lives are moving in that direction, to that degree we'll be stable, we'll be strong, we'll be yielding fruit. In whatever way there are traces of what is negative, evil in our hearts, we will not be terribly wicked in comparison with the more wicked people we can see in this world. But whatever traces there are in our hearts that are not pleasing to God, that are negative, the evil one will be able to take advantage of, the Lord's working in our hearts will be hindered, and the fruitfulness of our lives will be affected. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. So again and again, in this psalm it comes true. The moral dimension is critical. That's why we say moral, spiritual, beauty, moral, spiritual, beauty, and stature. The moral dimension, critical. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Here in this whole context, it is clear, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. It's not knowing only in the sense that God is aware. God, it's not merely that God is aware of the way of the righteous, because God also knows in the sense of awareness what is going on in the lives of the wicked. Here, knows has a sense of God watching over, caring, undertaking for a meaningful relationship. Know with a sense of approval. God is pleased with the righteous. He watches over them. He carefully undertakes, cares for them. He's very concerned for them and what they are going through. But the way of the wicked will perish, in contrast. There are two similar passages which reinforces these truths and enriches the picture. I'll go through them quickly. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree, growing and so on. So we see here again, the righteous man compared to this, to the tree growing well. The righteous, again, straight away, the moral dimension, will flourish like the palm tree. You will grow like a cedar. So here, the flourishing, growing well, faring well. And it says in verse 13, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Here communicates to us, this growing well, this life flourishing in the eyes of the Lord from the perspective of God's kingdom is closely associated with one who is near to God, relationship with God and with God's people. He's involved, he participates, he's nourished, he's receiving, he's contributing, he's planted in the house of the Lord. Communicates to us these ideas. He's not just by himself, isolated, seeking to grow on his own, but he's growing together with God's people and in fellowship with the Lord. He's planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. And the house of the Lord is not just by himself, it's together with God's people. It's not just between him and the building. Here it's talking about the presence of God. Verse 14, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green, communicates to us what we saw just now. Same picture here. They will still yield fruit in old age. In the margin, American Standard Bible says, thrive. So not just producing fruit, but thriving. They shall be full of sap and very green, communicates the same idea. It's consistent here. That is, it communicates to us not only producing little bit, but flourishing, as in verse 13 tells us, and there's this consistently enduring, fruitful kind of life. It is not just in spurts. And it carries on until old age, full of life and vitality, consistently so, enduringly so. Now, this is an encouragement to us, all of us, especially for those of us who are getting old. But those who are young can also be encouraged. We need not be fearful of old age. We need not be fearful of getting old and fearing that we will become useless. In the spiritual realm, it is not like that. If we are growing well, then as we grow older, we'll become more and more spiritual, stable, and fruitful. Yes, physically we may have our difficulties, but we will not be useless in God's kingdom. But it's important that we do not measure usefulness just by the comments of others or the people of the world in particular, or even by what is obvious to us. There are many things that are very meaningful and beautiful in the eyes of the Lord that are not beautiful. The scriptures communicate this point very, very clearly, including these two psalms that we are looking at. If we are growing well, planted by the streams of water, we will continue to bear good fruit right until old age. It's a continuing thing. It will happen. Another and the last passage on this first pictorial representation in the Old Testament. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Again, very similar. Verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. And this in spite of the fact in verse 9 we see Jeremiah stating the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately weak, desperately sick. Who can understand it? In verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, and so on. That is a contrast. In spite of our weaknesses, our frailties, it is feasible for us to become like this tree planted by the water, continually bearing good fruit. In drought, its leaves will still be green, and it will not cease to yield fruit. Why is it so? Verse 7, blessed again. A blessed life, a blessed person, true well-being, God's approval. Who is this man? Why is it like that? He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Trusting in God is not just merely believing in God that He is great. He can do all kinds of things. He is good. Yes, it involves all that. But trusting in God involves a scriptural sense of trusting that leads to this kind of life. Includes that reliance upon God, consecrating our life to Him, trusting Him in the sense of trusting what He has revealed and prepared to live by it. That response from our heart in this manner is critical. Faith, dependence on God. Then this leads to blessedness, well-being, God's favor, God's approval. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Who is the one who is blessed? Who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Where is your confidence? In people, in situations, in your ability, in the bank account, in the approval of men, or in the Lord, in what He has revealed, and a faithful walk with God. Verse 8, for He will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and you will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Again, we see here the communication very strongly in a direction. The stability, the fruitfulness, and that this is closely associated, is tied up with one who is drawing spiritual life and nourishment from the Lord. Then it will be stable, it will be healthy, it will be like a tree planted by the water, extending its roots by a stream. And you will continue to be fruitful even in difficult environment, in the heat, in drought. Perseveringly fruitful, not cease to yield fruit. And these are the marks of one who is growing well. Not just going on all right when circumstances are very comfortable, but in difficult situations. You will not be anxious in a year of drought. You will not fear when the heat comes. You will continue to yield good fruit. Grounded in the Lord, abiding in Christ and He in us. The Holy Spirit having the freedom to minister to us, walking by the Spirit. Not merely surviving. Manage to keep our nose above the water and not drowning. How wonderful to be able to live lives like that, no matter what the circumstances. And it is feasible. This is God's intention for all His children. Will we trust Him? Avail ourselves of what He has provided for us, including the Scriptures, church life, what has been accomplished at the cross, His provision, especially of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The second pictorial representation from the New Testament, I have referred to this from time to time, so I will not spend much time on it, But I think it's just helpful if you can just remember this picture when you're thinking of growing well spiritually. And there are just some major aspects I want to emphasize, but I will not spend much time on this. It's the parable of the sower, or the four different kinds of ground, but in particular is the good soil. And the main issue here is the attitude to truth and the depth of response. Luke chapter 8, verses 11 to 15. Luke chapter 8, verses 11 to 15. The Lord Jesus himself explaining the parable. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. As they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, and this is the verse that we want to concentrate upon. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. This is the pictorial representation that we want to capture. The rest are in the background. There's some brief comments on the verses that we have read. The seed is the word of God. Those sown beside the road, the devil comes, takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Here we can see that it has to do with, it communicates to us, those who did not even receive it, receive the truth, receive what God has to say. Well, we may be God's children, but in principle, this can be very relevant to our lives every day, and also our times together like this. Are there many contexts when we are not receiving when we should be, when it's feasible? We may give many reasons, many excuses. Why is it they are not receiving? Why is it we are not receiving the truth that can help us? Perhaps because they did not pay sufficient attention. Perhaps they were indifferent. Perhaps they were distracted. Perhaps their heart was somewhere else. Perhaps there was disbelief. Perhaps it requires effort to grapple, to think through. It's too difficult. And so they just let it pass. And it made no impression. They didn't benefit from it at all. What God desires to communicate to us are precious, valuable things. Let us pay heed. The rocky soil, they receive the word with joy, verse 13, but have no firm root. You see the contrast we saw earlier on? The firm, the tree planted by the water, the streams of water. The blessed man, like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. But here, the rocky soil, they receive the word with joy, but there's no firm root. In time of temptation, they fall away. Here it communicates to us those who appear eager in their reception. We can also say eager in inverted commas, but not really eager of real quality and meaning. Because in reality, it is a superficial reception. There's a lack of depth of commitment. It crumbles when confronted with difficulties, with temptations, with testing. Temptation in the scriptures, the same word is translated temptation, testing, trials or difficulties. So here it's important for us also to reflect. When truths are communicated, when there are opportunities for us, including our time with the Lord each day, there's much that God desires to communicate to us through the scriptures and in many other ways. Are we just eagerly receiving superficially, or is there depth of reception and commitment so that it will not fade away, crumble away, fall away in the midst of temptations, difficulties, trials. In the seed among the thorns, they are choked with worries. They have heard, yes, but then they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Again, in contrast to what we saw earlier, continually, steadfastly bearing fruit. The tree planted by streams of water, but here it brings no fruit to maturity. Again, here there's lack of commitment, and so choked by the cares and attractions of this world. In the past, I have, in the several messages, reflected on this parable, the four soils. I will not elaborate here, but now I want to concentrate on, and just again, still just very brief comments on the good soil. The good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. If you want to make good progress, then it's important to remember this picture of the good soil and to concentrate the importance of an honest and good heart. Sincerity. We don't try to rationalize away things. When we hear the truth, when there are opportunities to hear the truth, when God wants to speak to us, we are eager to hear, and the heart is truly receptive, and it goes deep. We hold it fast, and we bear fruit with perseverance. So the primary thing here has to do with the heart attitude toward truth. It's very, very critical. How much do we really value the truth and what God has to say to us? How deeply would we drink it in, consume it? And is there the preparedness to endure, to persevere? This will result in life of fruitfulness. Bear fruit with perseverance. In the margin, it says, or steadfastness. Stable, steadfast, committed to live by the truth we have come to understand. That is critical. So I'll now just quickly go through some aspects, some comments on moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Is helpful for us, even as we recognize that this is a very important issue. This expression, moral, spiritual beauty and stature, communicates to us that it is a moral and spiritual issue. It has moral and spiritual dimensions. We need to bear in mind both. Moral and spiritual dimensions. Moral, it pertains to the moral quality of our being. Truth and righteousness. Truth in the innermost being. These are extremely important at the very heart of it. To grow well, we must have love and longing for truth, righteousness, goodness, and what God has to say. And not just a superficial desire, longing, but deep, with commitment to live by the truth we've come to understand. This is what we've seen just now. We love the truth, like the psalmist in Psalm 1. He will meditate on the law of God. His delight in the law of the Lord, he meditates on it day and night. He will seek to understand, and he will absorb it. And it's associated with righteousness. He will turn away from dark sin, from negative, from evil. And verse 6 tells us the Lord knows the way of the righteous. You've seen the other pictorial representation of the good soil. Hearing the truth, what God has to say, The word of God, we saw, the seed is the word of God, with an honest and good heart, and hold it fast. So there's this longing, this love for truth, this kind of longing, this kind of love for whatever is good in the sight of God and from the perspective of God's kingdom. Not just what is attractive to the flesh and what appears good and what is pleasant. It is very important for us, if we want to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, that we must nurture this kind of longing for the truth. And we shouldn't just stop at whether we have or we don't have it, full stop. We must recognize that this is very important and we must seek to nurture it. How can we nurture it? I can take quite a long time talking about it, but I now want to crystallize it in this form for today. And that is, we must recognize there is a spiritual dimension to it. It cannot be just by our own desire, our own effort, and then we will have it. God needs to work in our hearts to nurture this. But at the same time, even as we recognize that God desires and is seeking to reach out to us to nurture this within our hearts, we must realize that we must respond well in that direction. Then it will come about. Pray, ask the Spirit of God to evoke, to nurture within us a deeper love and longing for the truth, for righteousness, for goodness, and for whatever God may want to say to us, to communicate to us, the way we value, treasure these things above all else, truth and relationship with God. We shouldn't be satisfied with just the fact that we know that we have some desire, some longing. We should continually pray in that direction from time to time throughout our lives, asking the Lord to deepen this love for the truth, this longing for truth, for righteousness, for goodness. This is so much bound up with the being of God. If we do not have this kind of love and longing, how can we have a deep and good relationship with God? And this is at the very heart of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. It is critical. But having prayed to God, it's important for us to bear in mind another aspect that's very closely related. Don't forget. Just praying to God in that direction is not sufficient. We must then respond well to what the Spirit of God, to the Spirit of God at work within us. God wants to nurture this within us. But will we respond well? Will we also take the necessary steps that God has revealed to us through prayer, through the reading of scriptures, through fellowship, growing well together with God's people, and so on and so on? This responding well to what the Spirit of God at work within us and the recognition of the need to ask the Lord to deepen within us this love and longing brings me to this other closely related aspect of, together with moral, is spiritual. So we must recognize that there is an essential spiritual element to it. The moral for man cannot stand by itself. That's how we are created. We are not capable of being morally good by ourselves, on our own, no matter how hard we try. It has to be in the context of that relationship with God. It involves relationship with God and God's working and God's enabling. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The importance of nurturing our relationship with God. The looking to God. The recognition of God the Father, who has not only created us, but sovereignly watching over us, caring for us, providing for us, providentially undertaking for us. We've considered all this in preceding messages. In all that we go through, concern for our growth, our well-being, His plans and intentions for us in Christ and through Christ, and what has been accomplished at the cross, and the outpouring and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Are we deeply impressed with all this? Do we pay attention? Or has God done all this and revealed all this to us, spoken to us, but fallen on deaf ears? Or when we first hear it, we agree, and after that, we just go on our way, and it has made no difference to our lives? To what degree are these things important? Are we paying attention? Then we will be like this blessed man like a tree planted by streams of water, that deep relationship with God. Abiding in Christ, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, constantly nourished, strengthened, refreshed, and we'll keep growing and keep bearing fruit, stable, steadfastly, enduring fruit, growing well, serving the Lord well, and recognizing that God is sovereignly watching over, undertaking the situations we go through, the people we encounter, and even the wiles and attacks of the evil one, the powers of darkness. And in all these situations, God is undertaking, providing us many opportunities to learn, to grow. Yes, it can at times be very, very difficult. Do we recognize all this? Or are we going through all these situations in vain? And just getting upset over many things? Concern, yes, that things are not going on well. But for our own lives, do we see that God is sovereign? And that we will grow well if we are trusting in the Lord, as we saw just now in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. And able then to be a source of blessing to those we come into contact and amongst God's people. The Lord has given us the scriptures so that we can have a clear map, an instruction manual, and we need not grope in the dark. Even as we read the scriptures, to recognize its relationship with God, who has provided this for us, and how we can learn, be nourished, and benefited only as we read, ponder over, in fellowship with the Lord, looking to the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to renew our minds. God has provided us with church life, so that we can learn and grow together with the brethren. Are we thankful and seeking to avail ourselves of all that is available? Yes, human beings do have failures in church life. There are many different aspects that we need to continue to look to the Lord. What are the areas that needs to be looked into that can be improved? Or even at times there can be areas that we have deep concern about. But do we make the most of what is available and seek to contribute our part meaningfully? We must seek to nurture deep fellowship with God and deep relationship and fellowship amongst the brethren. We saw just now in Psalm 92, verse 3. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Do we appreciate how we can learn and grow together with God's people? We are not meant to learn and grow in isolation like a hermit. The principle of God and man, and also fellowship amongst the brethren. The importance of being properly integrated into church life. Prayer, a very major aspect that we need to pay attention to. And for one who is growing well, this is essential to be going on well in his life. And every aspect of the lives of such a one must be undergirded by prayer. And in whatever he does, whatever he goes through, and even as he ponders about the future, whatever confronts him, the known, the unknown, the unpredictable, he knows that God sees everything. But not only looks to God and trusts God, that God knows, but also he knows that it is only through prayer and dependence on God, trusting God and praying, prayerfully going through situations, that he will be able to perceive well, to go through well, to fare well. And that prayer, we know, is related to our relationship with God and dependence on God and God working in and through our lives. And this is true for the individual and also for together, corporately in church life. Every aspect of church life must be undergirded by prayer, and it's important for us to pray not only for ourselves but for every aspect of church life, especially areas that we are deeply concerned about. the scriptures in this series of messages, in the preceding messages that we've been considering on this subject. We'll consider the importance of the scriptures so that we can be trained in righteousness, the moral dimension, and be men and women of God, adequate and equipped for every good work. We can, so we can grow well, and then we can contribute well, fruitfulness. But bear in mind, trained in righteousness, the moral dimension, adequate and equipped every aspect of our lives. It's not easy. We must not be presumptuous. But at the same time, let us not be deterred. If we do see that there are weaknesses and failures, we are in the various stages of development. It's a growing process. In fact, if we keep thinking that all is well in our personal life, there's nothing wrong at all, it can be a dangerous position. Not imagining things, but at the same time looking to the Lord to understand what are the areas that we need to put right, what are the positive areas that we have not put in sufficient effort. So the importance of personal learning and grounding in the scriptures so that we can have a strong foundation in the truth. And we've seen our approach to scriptures needs to be there needs to be the spiritual dimension to it. So it's alive. The Spirit of God speaking to us through the scriptures. Our appreciation of the truth is living, alive, bound up with the being of Christ, the person of Christ, whom the scriptures seeks to communicate to us. And the way of reading such that we will be spiritually nourished every day as we read the scriptures prayerfully. Again, we saw just now in someone, delight in the law of God, meditating on it day and night, that kind of approach, that kind of attitude towards the scriptures. The good soil, how we receive the word of God, what God has to say to us through the scriptures with an honest and good heart, hold it fast, not careless, not presumptuous, but we truly value the precious truths that God has revealed in the scriptures, intended for our learning. And in all this appreciation of how we can learn and grow together with the brethren, together in church life, and to know that what is important in church life, what are we looking for in church life? How does church life help us? In many, many ways. But one way of looking at it is that church life helps us when church life emphasizes and teaches us how to live our lives on the basis of what has been revealed in the scriptures. That is at the heart of it. One way of looking at whether church life is functioning properly. Does it emphasize, does it teach us how to live our lives on the basis of what has been revealed in the scriptures? Are we helped in that way? Through preaching, through teaching, through learning from one another, through seeing the demonstration of sincere and earnest attempt to work out every aspect of church life according to what is revealed in the scriptures, and also what is revealed in the scriptures is relevant to every aspect of the life of the individual. Not that there are no failures, not there are no things that grieve our hearts, but are there sincere attempts to seek to work out? And where there's failure, sort it out, pick ourselves up from there, correct it, and go on from there. In the midst of all this, in everyday life, we must learn to abide in Christ, walk according to the Spirit, and to recognize that it is feasible, and we ought to do so at all times, whatever our context, and in every situation. You know, this, I just include all this in one sentence, but we spend much time considering all this and what it means. And so every day, through the situations and trials of life, how do we go through? A very brief summary. If we are growing well, progressing well, how do we view situations of life and trials? We'll view all kinds, various kinds of situations and trials we go through as helpful for our learning and our growing, if we are walking with God. We are not going our own way, indulging in our own desires. Sincerely, we are seeking to walk the Lord, then we should view the various kinds of situations that we and trials we go through as helpful for our learning and our growing. And God is sovereignly watching over us, because they can help us develop the various aspects of character and the various facets of moral, spiritual beauty and stature, including love, patience, perseverance, faith, understanding people, being an understanding person, knowing how to provide a listening ear, knowing God, learning to put into practice the truths and principles within learning, and learning how to fight a good fight of faith, understanding what is happening in the spiritual realm, the powers, the darkness at work. There are many things that God can teach us through the various situations of life, and every facet of moral, spiritual beauty and stature, all are relevant, all can be learned, nurtured in the many different situations we go through. The sad thing is we are often distracted. Our attention, the evil manages to turn our attention into other things, sidetracked, so that we are not able to concentrate on the things that really matter and to learn well. Life is peppered with trials, testings, temptations. I mentioned this is the same word. Sometimes sprinkle all over. I'm using here the metaphor of pepper. If you're peppered all over, it can be very, very uncomfortable. And during such times, yes, we can view the temptations and the trials that we go through that can be very difficult, uncomfortable, unpleasant. We can view them as temptations of the evil one, trials put in our way by the evil one to cause us to sin, to go astray, to discourage us. Yes, it is true. It's not wrong to view them in that way. In fact, that is true. The evil is trying to cause us to be deterred, discouraged, and to go astray. But these same trials, testings, temptations can also be viewed as opportunities to learn, and God allowing us to go through, God putting us to the test. As I mentioned, test, testing, same word, trials, testing. Test what? To test our affirmations of love for the Lord, our love for man, how deep, our faith in God, the depth of our commitment to God and to the truth. We have affirmed it with our lips, and we think it's also true in our hearts. And yes, it may be true, but how deep? The trials and testings reveal the quality, the depth of the commitment, the realities in our hearts. It helps us to see, to recognize, and then, if we are opened, our recognition of areas that we need to put in more effort. Weaknesses that need to be dealt with, they become more obvious. But if we are not opened, then we go through these testings and trials in vain, because we do not learn from them. Our weaknesses, though can become clearer, we do not see the positive areas like love and faith that we can exercise and grow in the process. We fail to respond in that way, and so we do not grow. Instead, we go downhill. So let us recognize, if we go through the trials well, trusting the Lord, in fellowship with Him, in dependence on Him, together with the brethren, it will result in the consolidation of our lives, consolidating what we've been learning, the formation of the positive moral and spiritual qualities in our being, growing the depth of our relationship with God, and increasingly effective in our lives. We've over the years recognized the importance of the principle, learning the principle of death, the self-life. As we go through the various situations of life, we have many opportunities to learn the principle of death to the self-life. The other side of the coin is the nurturing of the positive moral and spiritual qualities of the inner man. Both are needful. And to nurture the positive, we need to deal with the negative and the death to the self-life. So just brief concluding remarks. One way of summarizing the positive approach to life that ensures we grow well in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, this is what we often would like to understand. Is there a way to ensure? Put in simple terms, is it possible? Yes, it is possible. There's one way of summarizing the positive approach to life that can ensure, not just maybe we'll grow well, but ensure we'll grow well in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Just a few words. Seek and absorb the truth and walk in truth in fellowship with God and His people. Seek and absorb the truth and walk in truth in fellowship with God and His people. If there's this hunger in our hearts for truth, we seek it, we absorb it, we walk in it, but not on our own. It must be in fellowship with God. We learn from the Lord and together with God's people. If we set our hearts on this and it is true in our lives, and we not run away from the truth, whatever it may be, and truth in the sense that has been explained in earlier messages, when the scriptures tells us to walk in truth, truth in the innermost being, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth and the life, grace and truth realized in Lord Jesus Christ with a moral, spiritual dimension, truth as what pertains to God's kingdom with God's approval, what ought to be. The two pictorial representations in the scriptures can help us remember the attitude and life of such a person. One, the blessed man, like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Reflected on what we've covered on that, can help us to remember. And secondly, the good soil, the good hearer, who receives the word of God, the word of truth, in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Let's also bear in mind the relationship between moral, spiritual beauty and stature and spiritual service and contribution. Moral, spiritual beauty and stature is the basis for effective service. Without it, there can be no effective service. But on the other hand, bear in mind that regulated service promotes growth. If you are faithful to the Lord, we serve as He desires of us, it will contribute to our growth, but bear in mind regulated service. Don't take on too much that will overwhelm us, the pressure too much for us, beyond what the Lord desires of us. I'm not saying that just take the easy path, only when it's comfortable, it's easy, then that means that's correct. At times, true service, what the Lord desires of us, can involve very, very difficult times, but it's still within what God wants of us, what God desires of us. Finally, I will not elaborate on this, but maybe another day I may consider this with you in fuller detail. I just want to close with this note that as we nurture the various aspects mentioned, we will increasingly develop the important quality of being trustworthy, reliable. If we really grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, we become trustworthy, reliable. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, He says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Paul says, let a man regard us in this manner, servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God, servants of the Lord, stewards of what God has entrusted. Paul says, required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Trustworthy, reliable. Ponder over the meaning and significance of this quality. Do not underestimate its importance. And do not think it is easy to attain to it. In a degree of that is really meaningful, it is not easy, but it is very important. God wants us to be trustworthy, reliable. As I mentioned, I will not elaborate on this, just leave it for you to ponder about it. But the Lord willing, one day I may consider this subject more fully with you. We'll stop here for today. As we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, let us ponder over our lives. Are we making good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature? Do we recognize its importance and its direct bearing on the quality and meaning of all the fundamental aspects of our faith, especially our relationship with God, the quality of our worship, fellowship with Him, the freedom with which He can speak to us, entrust things to us, our ability to obey Him, serve Him well, serve Him effectively, the quality of our time on earth as well as in eternity, the meaning and quality of our relationship with people, our ability to receive benefit from the scriptures as well as minister the truth to others, our participation in church life and participation in the fulfillment of God's purposes. Let's ponder over the pictorial representation in the scriptures of the blessed man, like a tree planted by streams of water, that unceasingly yields fruit, even in heat and drought, and even until old age. Is planted in the house of the Lord, flourishes in the courts of God, together with in relationship with God and His people, nourished, receiving, participating, contributing. The moral dimension, the spiritual dimension, the moral, the need to turn away from all evil, to learn from the Lord how to be a righteous man, to love truth and righteousness. The importance of nurturing a deep longing for truth, for righteousness, for whatever is good, and know that this is bound up with a healthy relationship with God, and availing ourselves of all that God has provided, especially the provision of His Son, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, church life, the scriptures, that we can learn and grow well together with God's people. Let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, recognize that all this is possible because of the cross. Let us draw near to the Lord Jesus and seek to identify with the spirit with which the Lord Jesus went to the cross. The depth of His love toward us, His preparedness to suffer the pain and agony that's not possible for us to properly appreciate fully, but just a glimpse of it. Not suffering in vain, but on the basis of which the way is open and is now open for us. No need to come back to God, but to become His children, to be partakers of the divine nature, to have eternal life, to be in Christ, and all that God has provided for us in Him. And experience the fullness of the Spirit. That all these are feasible. But the full experience of all these things do not come automatically. Let us seek to understand these things and how to respond well. Let us uphold one another as we partake, prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, and as we do so together, look to the Lord to enhance our oneness in the Lord in journeying together, in seeking to learn and to grow well together as God's people, as members of the body of Christ. For your presence, with thanksgiving, deeply appreciative, thankful for your love toward us and all that you've done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, the Spirit of God will have the freedom to search our hearts. Help us to recognize what you are trying to speak to us. Help us to recognize areas in our lives that needs to be put right, that you will have much freedom to work in us and to work through us. Help us as we partake the Lord's Supper to do so in faith, and to deepen in the consciousness of our oneness with you and oneness in the body of Christ, and to take whatever steps that are needful to enhance this oneness. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.